Good morning. It's really good to see you all this morning. I'm from Madurai, as Brother Sam sensei. We have a very sunny morning this morning. In Madurai only, there are three seasons, hotter and hottest. So we are moving to the hottest season. So recently, I discovered something which, I mean, I would like to share you today, because this book, Man in the Mirror, was gifted to me many years back. And recently, again, I started reading it. And many of the thoughts Pat Mooney sharing in the book are very relevant to our day's life. So he's dealing about 24 issues, that is problems men face in their life, particularly Christian businessmen. Pat Mooney is a Christian. He walks his talk. And he is a very successful businessman, and he brings a lot of his wisdom. So I think thoughts from the man in the mana will definitely help you. 1 minute, let me share the screen with you. So this is the title of the book, The Man in the Mirror, Solving 24 Problems Men Face. So today I would like to share at least two or three problems the given time. The first problem that every man is facing is his identity problem. To solve his identity issue, they somehow get into a race which is called a rat race. We all know that nobody ever won the rat race, but we all get into the rat race without understanding the seriousness of it. Paul writes in his letter, Galatians 5:7, "You were running a good race. Who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth?" Paul is writing this letter to the church at Galatia. So they were running a good race. He was appreciating, but someone has cut in and kept you from obeying the truth. So we were all, when we started our Christian life also, we started running a good race, but somehow we deviated from the truth and started running towards some other things. So he tells a nice story, real life story of a Christian couple, Carol and Larry. So this Larry married for 13 years. He has got two kids, one daughter and a son, 4 years son, and a daughter, 12 years. As one morning, he was driving them to drop in the school. First, he dropped his son in the daycare, and then he went to drop his daughter in the school. Before she could get down from the car, she looked straight at her father's face and asked her, "Daddy, do you really love mommy now?" This question really shook him. But somehow he managed and said, yeah, I'm loving your mom. And he managed to say goodbye to, bye-bye to his daughter. And he started driving back to his workplace. On the way, he was just recollecting his 13 years of marriage. They were a very happy couple. When they got married, Carol was working in a bank and he's also working in a firm. They were very happy. When the first child was born, they decided, because Carol comes from an orthodox thinking family, that women should never work and they should look after their household things. So she resigned and looking after his daughter. And then she had one more son. As they were growing, and she didn't find the fulfillment in being at home. Since she's being an MBA graduate, she also joined in a company as a sales person and then promoted at a top sales manager of the company. So then they got into the rat race without knowing, and they wanted to buy a beautiful cruiser, which their neighbor bought, a 24 cruiser. So every month, $5,000, it was an extra payment. Then her husband wanted to buy a race car, which cost them another $4,000 per month. Then his wife said, "I have to go for a holiday, vacation, we have to go for a vacation. Because my friend last year went for Hawaii, the tennis friend, and she was talking so good about it, so we have to go. So he agreed for that, and that also started causing them some more, few more thousands of monthly payments. So the EMI went up, and the tension started building in their house. And one fine morning, it has gone to that stage. Carol brought her packers and movers and moved her things and went. And subsequently, she filed a divorce. So the problem is, even though Larry clearly understood it, more money is less family, more family is less money, without knowing he got into the rat race. So do you know anyone who has ever won the rat race? Rat race is defined like this. It is an endless self-defeating or pointless pursuit. Do you know anyone who has ever won the rat race? If no, why do we compete in an unwinnable race? This is the question. See, many of us get into the rat race without knowing what the rat race is really. What is the purpose of my life? We have to answer these questions. Why do I exist? How do I find meaning? How do I satisfy need to be significant? Who I am trying to please anyway? Why are my relationships in a shambles? How did I get so far in debt? Many times we never ask these questions. How did I go so far in debt? How did I get caught up in the rat race in the first place? That also we never question. How to achieve the desired result of good life? So this is the question of most of business people. How to achieve the desired result of good life? The world where we live has implemented its own ideas and how to accomplish the good life. Ideas which are far different from God's order. So first of all, we should understand how the world has implemented its own ideas about how to accomplish the good life. See, we are dominated by the media. So the media determines the standard of living. It is a fallacy. Our material standards of living multiplied in the last 50 years. When we look back in the 50 years, our material standard has multiplied multi times. But at the same time, our spiritual standard of living diminished in the same time span. This we never sit and analyze. The most lasting satisfaction in our life is our relationships. So while we are trading them off for careers and for our careers, material things, so we have to be very careful here. Over the past 50 years, the media has influenced us so much, and it has given a standard of living fallacy, a false information that having more materials is successful than enjoying the God-given relationships. Here we have to be very careful. The reason the dominant economic theory among businessmen during the last 40 years, if you consider two things, consumerization and program to consume more. So the TV and all the social medias, they program us in such a way to consume more. Not only the TV, social media, even if you go into any malls or shopping center, we are programmed to buy more. If you go to buy one material, they program us to, they brainwash us to buy five of the same things so that we get one at a lesser rate, but at the same time, we don't need the five things. So the media, the influence of media is so great in India. So the media and advertisement, we consciously and unconsciously do us to go for their lifestyle. They decide a lifestyle, not we. And they help us somehow to get into that. media makes us ashamed to own a used car. So the media is advertising so flashy things there, and it makes us ashamed to use an old car. We are programmed to consume more and more. It is progressively greater consumption of goods are beneficial. Our identity is tied to what car we drive and what kind of home we own. Normally, I have noticed many people, when they come to a meeting or there, immediately they will keep their car key and the phone on the table so that we can see that they are using an Apple latest phone and a BMW car. So our identity is unknowingly tied to this kind of car, material things. We fail to model our children to be like missionaries, scientists, artists, or saints. These things all we fail. So we have to rethink all these things. And the media constantly advertising a beautiful, wrinkle-free life. So this advertisement, these media is generating a living anxiety in us, because we have to always increase the standard of living. Oh, we should, the neighbor has bought this and we have to buy this and so on. I'm sure you all remember so many years back, the Onida TV was introduced. Their advertisement, main advertisement was as a picture of a Satan on there. And it is telling the word, owner's pride and neighbor's envy. So owner's pride and neighbor's envy. This is the way the media is promoting us and planning us to go for a different standard of living. And that anxiety pushes us. I live in an apartment where 146 houses are there. As I go for a walk in the morning, I have noticed constantly one thing. If a guy buys a new model car, within another 3 months, I can see 6 or 7 cars in of the same model is being parked. So we are pushed by the media, pushed by our neighbors to increase our standard of living, and we get into a type of anxiety. Once we get into the standard of living anxiety, automatically everything is tied to a debt. So we get into debt. So we have to be very careful here. Why we are, see, this not only media is pushing you to get into this standard of living, even sometimes our pastors and our friends also push into this kind of life. So I live in an apartment, a 3-bedroom house. This we decided some 20 years back. So me, my wife, myself, and my child, we sat and we prayed. And we thought 3-bedroom is sufficient, because that time my mom was living with me and my second daughter also is living with me. Older daughter got married. So we decided and moved into this apartment. About 8-10 years back, my daughter also moved, got married and moved. And last year, my mom also died. So now we two are in the 3-bedroom house. After my mom's death, one man of God, he couldn't come for the funeral. So he came and visited us and he prayed for me. And seeing the apartment and the house, he started praying, Lord, bless Samana with a big house, with a big gate and so on. He started praying. Then I told him at the end, brother, this house itself is too big for me. Every morning, I have to search for my wife where she is. So you pray for me to God to give a lot of money so that I can give it to so many people. So what I'm trying to tell, not only media is pushing you to a standard of living anxiety, but even sometimes pastors also push you to the standard of living anxiety. So we have to be very careful in this. So these are some of the advertisements we regularly see in our papers. That is, let your dream take wings. Get amazing offers on home and car loans. Low EMI. These are it's showing a very happy family. This is the wrinkle-free life they show. But we all know there is a big catch behind it. So we have to be very careful in these things. So there is a chart clearly shows that the artificially media generated standard of living and anxiety. So the green line is our income, but our spending style is the red line. So the in between the debt, we live always in a very big debt. So we have to be very careful, and this chart should be in our mind whenever the media generated standard of living anxiety in our mind. See, this artificially media generated standard of living gives us a very big anxiety. And this anxiety leads us into stress. So I would say in another way, even this stress is artificially generated by media, because we want to buy more, more, and this anxiety leads into a stress, and the stress leads into your diabetes, high blood pressure, and so many disorders. And in turn, you go to the hospital. That is a big industry where they treat you for all the diseases. So we have to understand where this all started. Where is the root cause for all these things? Now we treat the stress, but we don't treat the root cause for why we are into this situation. So we have to think carefully about this. See, the rat race is now defined. The rat race runs to pursuit of this beautiful wrinkle-free life. This wrinkle-free life is projected by the media. Since there are no winners, the aftermath of running the rat race and losing takes a heavy toll. So we have to be very careful in getting into the media advertised wrinkle-free life. And at the end, you pay a very heavy price, as this story of the Carol and Larry, how their marriage, when they got into the rat race, they were very comfortably living, but when they got into the rat race, they lost their family, their relationship, and everything. So it's time for CBFC businessmen to check out the rat race. Be careful, it is an unwinnable race. 2 Corinthians 5:17, Paul writes like this: anyone who is joined to Christ is a new being. The old is gone, the new has come. It's a Good News translation. So if we are in Christ, once we accept Christ, we are a new being. The old is gone, the new has come. See, normally we have noticed if you promote a man from a worker cadre to a manager cadre, he will be doing only the worker work, not the manager work, and managing the workers. So we should understand we have been promoted in Christ to see the eternal things and more valuable things. So the old is gone and new has come. So we have to understand this secret. And in Ecclesiastes 4:5-6, Solomon writes, King Solomon, some people say it is foolish to fold our hands and do nothing. If you don't work, you will starve to death. Maybe that is true. But I say, it is better to be satisfied with the few things you have than to always be struggling to get more. So now, my first point is over. You have to think, are you unaware you got into the rat race? If you agree, you have to sit and think about it. You have to take what are the initial steps you can take to get up the treadmill and out of the rat race. This verse also I'd like to read. Godliness with contentment is great gain. In another translation, it says it is a great profit. So if we get into the contentment, godly contentment, it is a great profit. So because nothing we brought into the world, and certainly we can carry nothing out. And having full and eminent, let us be there with content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. But the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through which many sorrows. So let us all get the godly contentment, which is great profit. Whatever you have, billions of money and multi-billion businesses, if you have, if you don't have the godliness with contentment, definitely it is not the gain, it is a loss only. So next problem is, so another 10 minutes I have, I will finish it in 5 minutes, the next one. People leading an unexamined life. Many of the business people, we lead an unexamined life. We never sit at the night and examine ourselves and what we have done the day, is it correct or not? The Athenian philosopher Plato, he lived 400 years before Christ, and he says, the life which is unexamined is not worth living. But the prophet Jeremiah, who lived 500 years back, he has written in Lamentations, let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord. So if we live a life without examining, it is a waste. So better we test it and return to the Lord. There used to be a TV serial called the Dempsey and Makepeace. Dempsey is a tough New York cop, and Makepeace is from London. She's a female. They both get into the serial of catching thieves and robbers. There will be a lot of running, full of action, burning cars, exploding backgrounds. They dive into the pavements and they spray machine gun, so and so. It goes on for 40 minutes and then it ends. Suddenly the screen ends with a commercial. And then this Dempsey says, life is hard and then you die. Life is hard and then you die. So this guy looks like a dumb guy, and but that what he says has got some meaning. Let us all think about this thing. What life is so, why life is so hard? And what happens when I die? So we have to ask questions. Who am I? Why do I exist? When we don't examine these things, our life will be meaningless. The number one problem of man at this century is that he leads an unexamined life. We rush from task to task, and we don't have enough time out to reflect on life's larger issues. Have you taken a time out during last year as a family? Have you took a time out? Or every day before going to bed, have you taken a time out to reflect what happened the same day? So you have to reflect every day what has happened the whole day. So an unexamined life is not worth living. Let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord. And Mahatma Gandhi said, there is more life than increasing its speed. There is more to life than increasing its speed. There's no point in increasing the speed of our life. There are so many views in this world, but do we follow the Christian life view? This is the question we have to ask. There are two views in you. The visible you, everybody knows about us, and another one is the invisible view, but the real view of you, you and God only knows. Identify the real you. Only with God's help you can. So we can wear a beautiful mask and cheat everybody, that, but only you and God knows what the real you are. So the author asked a very beautiful question. What would you like on your, funeral day, the people to speak about you? Of course, the people around you will talk good about you. But some people will be staying a bit away from the home under a tree, and they will be talking about their reap, about you, what you want them to talk about you, and what you want them to know about you. So the visible you is the you that is known by others. But this visible you and the real you, which God knows, must be the same thing. But we are so used to wearing a mask for Sunday, a mask for friends, a mask for our neighbors. But God wants us to have the same real you, what you have with God, with others. As the time is going up, I just finished with these two problems man faces. The one is the identity problem. Man gets into the rat race, which is an unwinnable race. And the second one, man leads an unexamined life. So please, brothers, as our CBMC brothers, we should understand, do we lead an unexamined life? Or we lead every day examine our life? So the time is up. If anybody needs a prayer request, we can pray and close it. One more thing I'd like to say. If you want to have this man in the mirror electronic copy, please ask Samson, and he will send it to you by WhatsApp or by email. There are 24 problems that Patrick Moley, he's one of the leading businessmen who mainly concentrates among men. And it will be very useful if you can do these things in your small groups every week. 24 issues he's dealing in this program. If anybody needs this, please, you can type your name in the chat box and Mr. Samson will email it or WhatsApp it to you.
Brother Sam?
Yes?
Can I have your number, brother?
Samson will put it in the...
No, it gets complicated trying to get it from Samson. Can you tell me now?
98428-680-47.
98428-680-47.
Yes, brother.
Thank you, brother.
Okay, brother. Shall we pray? Any prayer request? Let me check the chat. Our loving Heavenly Father, Father God, we thank you for this wonderful day and wonderful morning. As we start this week, Lord, you gave us challenges to think. Lord, are we in this rat race for our identity issues? Are we examining our life every day before going to bed? Lord, thank you for giving this vision this morning, Master, so that let us all be careful in getting into the rat race. If we are already into the rat race, Lord, help us to get down, get out of the treadmill, and get out of the rat race. Help every one of us, Master. Lord, help us to every day examine our life. Are we living two lives, a life to show others one life, and the real me, which is only God and me can see? Lord, help us to identify our condition and turn to you, Master. The philosophers may say the unexamined life is not worth living, but you are telling, I test your ways and return to me. So you are like a father. You are ready to receive us, Master. So this morning we commit ourselves and we return to you, Father God. Help us to run a race which you have kept for us. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.